Hey, what's going on, everybody? Today, the Oz chat with American country singer songwriter Lissa Flaherty. In this news episode, Lissa joined me to talk about the time she got voice lessons at Best Buy, messaging record labels in Nashville at a young age, experience on The Voice, Girl Going Nowhere, live performance at Franklin, Tennessee's Mockingbird Theater, original song meant to do, idolizing Lainey Wilson, Chris Stapleton, collaborating with Sean Dunbar, and more. And now, with that being said, hope you enjoy my conversation with Alyssa. Hello, Alyssa. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I mean, it's great to be able to talk to you because I've obviously been just exploring what you've been posting on TikTok, and I'm like, this girl is kind of giving me like Kelsea Ballerini vibes, but also like, I guess playing songs that were like Asha McBride, and I'm like, this is like kind of like giving me of like when Asha McBride first started out, and now like look at where she is now, right? Like now she's a part of the Opry, and it's crazy how that one dream can just spark a whole thing. And I love I just ended up really loving her new song, Made for This.
Song Light in the Kitchen or Light
Oh,
on
that's a great song.
That one, I listened to that the other day and I was like, oh my goodness, so good, so incredible.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, how has everything been for you? Tell us about, I guess, what you've been up to lately, and then we'll go from there.
So lately I've really just been working on songwriting and getting songs. Songwriting is very new to me. I started writing in January and it has a life of its own. It has a mind of its own. And being in Nashville, there's so many just freaking incredible, talented songwriters. And it's so inspiring because they really, getting in the room with someone that's more experienced only is going to make you better. So I've just been very thankful to get in the room with some really cool people and just kind of just keep growing my craft. I think I'm really in just a season of learning and growing and developing just, what I really want to say and how I want to say it. But I've just been in a creating kind of time frame recently, so.
Yeah, and honestly, the whole thing with you being an artist and just reading more up on like reading more about you and listening to one of the interviews that you did, and I was kind of like stunned by the fact that there isn't many stories where you hear where the artist is so young but they pitch to record labels in Nashville at such a young age. Right, like that's something that you don't hear of in terms of like when artists
No.
are young and have like no idea of what they're doing, and so you don't get to hear those stories. And then when I was reading about that with you, I was like, whoa, that's something that I have to talk about. So let's talk about that. What was that all about?
So no one in my family does music. I did sports growing up, and that's really like I was very competitive and just I love sports. My parents were into health and fitness, and I just always sang. And my parents were kind of like this girl singing before she could talk. Like what? Like who is this child? And so when I was 8 years old, I just begged my parents for voice lessons, and they finally agreed. I was like, I want to be coached. Like I was in my sports. Like I wanted to get better, and I ended up just learning the national anthem, and I would sing that everywhere I possibly could. I would sing it at charity events, sporting events, schools, and everything. So growing up, did sports, everything, and just kind of went up to high school, singing when I could and played sports. But my freshman year of high school, my aunt signed me up for The Voice, and I was 14 years old. And my mom was like, oh gosh, like, are you sure you want to do this? Is this really something that you want to do? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, why not? So I ended up going to Houston to do like a cattle call audition. There was thousands and thousands of people there, and I ended up getting a call back. So we stayed in Houston, did the call back, and then they're like, all right, well, we'll give you a call if you make it to LA. So we flew back home to Maryland, did my lacrosse tryouts, was playing lacrosse. One night after lacrosse practice, I get a call and they're like, you're coming to LA. So 150 out of the thousands and thousands of people that auditioned ended up going to LA. So my mom and I flew to LA. I ended up getting cut before TV auditions. So we went back home. And whenever you do shows like that, they kind of make you pick like a certain lane. Like, do you want to be a pop, country? Like, what's your like genre. And I fell in love with country music. I had always listened to Taylor Swift growing up, Kenny Chesney and Shania Twain, but it was more so like kind of seeing like what my vibe was, and I just fell in love with like country music and songwriting. So when I got home, I was like, well, I should look up Nashville and I should, see what's going on in Nashville. So I looked up just small independent little labels in Nashville and kind of just took a shot and sent them like a big bio about myself and a little video of me probably singing the national anthem somewhere. And reached out to three of them without telling my parents, because I was like, I don't want them to know yet like what I'm doing, but if I hear anything back, I'll tell them. So I was sitting in class one day and I looked at my emails and I had two responses. And one asked if, I wrote my own music, and I was like, no, I don't, not yet. They're like, well, let us know when you do. And then the other one was like, hey, we love your voice. Like, we'd love to, have a meeting with you. So I told my parents finally, like, what I had done, and they were like, Alyssa, like, what in the world are you doing? Are you sure? And I was like, yes, this is all I want to do. Like, this is where my heart's at. This is my passion. Like, this is all I want to do. It's my love. It's my first love. It's everything to me. And so they were like, all right, like let's do this thing. So we had a meeting with Dave Moody at Lamon Records. It was a really small, family owned for like 60 years, record label, and ended up coming to Nashville to meet with them, signed with them to do like a little introductory EP to the music industry for me, just so I could get into a studio and record and kind of just like experience what that would be like. So then I think it was in 2019 it ended up being released, and it was like three cover songs, two songs I did not write, but I picked from like a list of songs that they gave me. And that was that. So that's how we ended up in Nashville, and my parents fell in love with it here. My dad can work anywhere. He does medical sales, so it just kind of worked out like really well. And my parents were not ones to take a risk like that, so I was very shocked when they were like, let's go to Nashville, let's do it. But that's what happened with that record label company. So it was a cool experience.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, talking about the whole record label situation with your artistry and stuff, I was so curious on this because honestly, the whole thing with, I guess, when you were young, you'd always want to do voice lessons,
Yes.
and you kind of sort of begged your mom
Oh,
to
I
get you
begged
voice lessons.
so long.
And then you ended up getting voice lessons at Best Buy.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And that's like something that like, well, I mean,
Yes,
I guess
so
in Canada that's different here,
funny.
because Best Buy doesn't have voice lessons in our
Neither
country.
did ours. Neither did
So
ours. It was.
I was like, so I was so confused. I was like, is this an American thing where they have voice lessons and Canada doesn't? And because usually Best Buy is sort of like an electronics place and like stuff like that, right? Like that's something I would think of Best Buy being. I was like, voice
Exactly.
lessons, that's weird.
Um,
Tell us about that experience.
so our Best Buy in Annapolis is right by the Annapolis Westfield Mall. There was a music section. So there was like a little room, and it had like guitars, pianos, like microphones. And my mom was like, well, music, they knew nothing about music. So they're not even thinking like we should contact someone for voice lessons. She's like, well, let's go find them. Like, we'll go to Best Buy and they have music there. I'm sure someone can help us. And so Carlton, his name was Carlton, and he played piano. And he was like, we can, do some scales. He did not sing. And I would sit there and he would play the piano all like jazzy, and I would sing the ABCs, and that was my voice lesson. So we ended up leaving with the piano, and that was it. So it was definitely an experience. But those did not last very long. We ended up, one of our family friends, they knew a lady who taught voice and ended up meeting with her. And then she sent me on to one of her students. And her name was Betsy Stickles, and she taught me for 8 years, and it was the best thing ever. It was the most amazing. She was the best. So.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, also that I don't do this intentionally, but when I have guests on, I never like intentionally like have people who are connected to The Voice or American Idol, so to speak. And then doing your research, I was listening to one of your interviews and you said that you auditioned for The Voice And I was in my head, I was like, how did I land another voice contestant not intentionally doing that?
All singers do it. You have to try.
I mean, that's true. So I want to talk about that briefly, because there's some other things that I want to talk about your artistry and stuff like that. But let's focus on the voice for a few minutes here. I mean, what was that experience like, and how did that first like come about for you?
It was really crazy. I was 14, so it was my freshman year of high school, and my aunt signed me up, and my mom was like, "Oh my God, are you sure you want to do this?" And I'm very like a go get 'em. Like I'm like, "Let's do it. It doesn't matter how it turns out. Let's just try." And so we ended up flying to Houston, Texas, because that's where it was, and that's just what made sense for us to do at the time. And so we flew to Houston, and I'd never been to Houston. But we flew there and just we auditioned, we waited in line. There's like a cattle call audition. Like there's thousands of people there. You go, it was at the baseball stadium there. I'm not sure what team plays there, but it was the baseball team there. And you literally are like wrapped around the stadium until you finally get inside. Then you get, so you're just waiting in lines all day long. And it's like there's always, of course, that anticipation, and it's kind of like, okay, like what do you expect? Like we don't know what's going on when you get in there. And so after waiting in line for, we probably got up at like 7 a.m. and waited all day till like 4 p.m. until I probably got into that room. So you had to be very patient. But we got into the room and they had five people sitting in chairs like directly, because you'd go in with like 10 people. So you'd have five on one side, five on the other. And they would have your little paper like with your name on it, and they would just pick randomly. There'd be one person sitting at a desk in the front of the room, and then they would call up the person that was on the piece of paper that they, you know, they give like a little group of papers to the lady before you go in, and she'll just call your name, and you never know if you're going to be next or the first one, but then you just go up and sing about like 40 seconds of a song. And funny story, so I did Listen by Beyonce. That was like my audition song. So I was like, I gotta go big or go home. Like, I gotta do like a song that's gonna show off my voice. So I did not know this song. I learned the first 40 seconds because I was like, I'm probably not gonna, you know, have to sing longer than that. And if they wanna hear another song, I can do that. But I'm gonna learn the first 40 seconds. So I did not know the rest of the song. And so I was singing, and the guy was like, keep going, keep going. And I'm like, I don't know it. Like, I don't know it. So I'm pretty sure I just ended up like whipping it out of absolutely nowhere and kind of guessing like where the song went, because I had kind of, I listened to the song before, of course, but I did not know the words. I was like, I don't know what's going on. We're just gonna sing the chorus again. And it ended up working out. So that was, it ended up being a pretty good audition, but it's a lot of waiting and anticipation. And it's stressful. It's stressful because you're like, oh my gosh, all these people are so good. People are singing in line like all day long. And so you're hearing this. And I'm like a little 14-year-old girl, like, oh gosh, like these people are so good. But it was just really fun. It was a really cool experience. And everyone that worked there was like so sweet and welcoming and encouraging. And it was awesome. Like I really did love it. So it was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, just connecting on that story that you were just telling us about the whole voice experience. Obviously, there's flights being changed, I guess, in part of that story as well. What was that whole chaos about, I guess?
Once you make it through the first round of auditions, with all the lines of people, they'll give you a callback slip. And so you go to a room, give them your information, and they basically will just tell you, like they'll give you a call like in the next day or so, like where, when and where your callback audition is going to be. So we're in Houston. We are staying in this hotel. We're like, we don't know when we're going to leave. We're like calling my dad, and I'm like, I don't have clothes. Like, can you ship clothes to me? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have time to go shopping for like other things. I got to practice these songs. So my dad ended up like overnighting clothes from home because I needed clothes for my callback audition. And it was just like crazy. Like, it was just, we were all flying by the seat of our pants. My mom, my grandma, and I were all there. And I remember just sitting in the hotel room and practicing my songs, waiting to get that call to know when I'm gonna have to go back in. And when I finally got the call, it was I think like 2 or 3 days later. And then we went to, there was like a little studio that it was being held at. And we went to like a question room where like they would interview you and kind of just ask you questions about like your life and of course like trying to build like those storylines like for like the show. And so I did that, and then they were like, all right, like now it's time for like your singing audition. So then you went in, and it was like in front of different people every time. It was like a higher up like executive or a higher up producer. So this time was in front of like people that were more important, I would say, like just like in like really finalizing that decision. And so you went in, and they like were recording you with like this big camera, and you had a little microphone, and you would sing your song in front of like four or five different people sitting like at a table. And they just, asked you to come prepared with like three different songs, recorded those songs just on video, and then you left, and they're like, okay, like we'll let you know like how this went, and then like a few weeks we'll give you a call. So then after that, like you leave not really knowing, how it went. You think it went well, but like you never know. And we ended up going home, and I just waited for like a month to get a call back, and I didn't think I was going to get a call back, but I remember coming home from lacrosse practice one night, and they called, and they were like, you're going to LA. So we went to LA, and it was like a whole other round of auditions. Like there was one in front of executive producers, and then you like kind of did that again, and it was like a much bigger room with like a bunch of different people, probably like 15 different producers. And it was like really, really dark and like weirdly lit, and there was like candles everywhere, and it was like a vibe. Like it was very interesting. And so they like recorded that too, and then I guess they looked through those videotapes, and then like the next day they like brought us in. They're like, either you're going or you're not going to like TV auditions. And obviously I did not get on TV auditions, but the whole experience was just like, it was awesome. And it was just really, I think that whole experience really, I've always wanted to be a performer and sing and do that, but it kind of like really solidified it for me. Like I loved the adrenaline rush. I loved the pre I work really well under pressure. And so I think that's also what I just like loved about it, because it's like you gotta just go with it, and you gotta do it. And I loved it. I loved it. It was awesome.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I guess I'm curious who the coaches were on that season. Do you remember?
I really don't. I know it was, I think it was like Blake. I think it might have been like Kelly's like first or second year. I think, was Usher a coach? I
Usher
don't.
was definitely a coach. Yeah, Usher was definitely a coach.
And like Adam Levine. I don't remember. I know I really could not tell you. I don't even know what year it was. It was my freshman year of high school, whatever year that was. So I graduated in 21. So 17 or 18.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. I can definitely see that. But I was I th I think Usher was sort of the, I think he was a few years back of
Yeah, I feel like that was
that year.
a while ago. He was only.
Yeah. Because I think it was it John? No, I don't think John Legend was on that season.
Oh, maybe it was like Alicia Keys, maybe.
Oh, Alicia Keys. That makes more sense now. Because
Was
before
maybe someone. I have to look that up. I don't know. I don't
well,
remember.
I mean the whole thing has like changed dramatically. Now it's Reba filling in for Blake.
Yeah, I'm so sad he's leaving.
I
That's
mean,
so sad.
yes, it is sad to see Blake go, but I mean, it's time.
It's
It's time.
he's
It's
gone.
time.
He's done.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's riding off into the sunset, back to old ways. But I mean, there's so much to talk about. I mean, from your voice audition to, I guess, the whole Best Buy story, but I want to talk about inspirations in terms of artistry. I mean, who are you sort of like listening to now? And who did you idolize sort of growing up?
So I would say Taylor Swift, which I know a lot of people say this, but she truly like she is my biggest inspiration across the board. I think her songwriting, the way she connects with her audience, her strategy, like she's just a business-minded person, and like she's done it right. She's found like that cult following that truly just loves her no matter what, and I think as an artist, that's all you can ask for. And it's like that's always the goal, right? Like these people are the ones that are fueling, sales and buying tickets and showing up for you and all those things. And I think from day one, she's always been one that like truly just has genuinely and authentically connected with her audience. So she's just a huge inspiration, I think, for like a model of just like how to be with people. But right now, I would say Chris Stapleton is highly on my list. Like if he's not number one, he's freaking close because his soul is like what I freaking love. Like I love like that R&B bluesy kind of soul sound that he definitely brings to country music. Lainey Wilson is a huge inspiration for me right now. I've always loved her, and she's just freaking whoo has blown up, and it's so cool to see. I think Megan Maroney's songwriting is really awesome, and I just think like really finding people that are kind of in that like soul vein. But I would say Lainey Wilson and Chris Stapleton are probably my top two right now. I love them. I love them.
Well, Chris Stapleton is one of my favorites of
Yes.
music. He's got so much great songs. I mean, from
So many.
Tennessee Whiskey to Broken Halos to Millionaire to More of You to Nashville, Tennessee to
Yes.
Whenever You Come Around, Tribute to Vince Gill, the CMT Giants, and the list goes on. Lainey Wilson, Watermelon Moonshine,
Yeah.
and her new album, which is really cool and really good. For people who didn't listen to it, go listen to it. It's a great album. Jelly Roll, Need a Favor, that's a great one.
Heck yeah. Oh my God, he's so
Jelly
good too.
Roll. If he did not see the
I love
CMA,
Marco.
Marco McCollum, I think is he's pretty good as well.
This release is so fun fact, he like lives like 2 minutes away from me. He's like right down the road. So he's I see him all the time in passing and I'm like, hi. Hi. But I love him. He's really, really good. I love his voice. I'm trying to think. There's so many. There is so many that I just love. I really do. But I'd say Chris Stapleton and Lainey Wilson are on the top of my list right now.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I do want to play some audio for you of an artist, I guess, that you covered, that I just truly love. So I'm gonna play that for you now.
Yeah.
So here's Alyssa Flaherty performing one of Ashton McBride's songs.
Oh. I love that song. That song is so beautiful.
Well, I mean, that was Alyssa Flaherty performing Ashton McBride's "Girl Going Nowhere" live. Tell us about that moment. Where was that happening?
I believe that video is at the Mockingbird Theater in Franklin. And that theater is so it's so charming. It's adorable. It's right by the factory in Franklin. It's right in that little shopping center. And I was opening for some of my friends, the Deltas. They're an awesome like blues country band. So if you don't know who they are, please go check them out. They're great, the Deltas. But they asked me to open for them, and that was the first time I really got to open for someone at like more of like an intimate kind of special event. But that song, I think playing that live is always very, I think, kind of emotional because it's very it's so relatable. And I think to so many people, no matter what you're chasing in life and, you know, being an artist or, you know, going to be a doctor, it's like there's going to be people that don't believe in you. And that's where that song came from. She said her one of her teachers like was like, oh, you know, you're going to come back to this town, so you can tell us about it when you get back. They always leave and come back, kind of just being like she's never going to make it. And she ended up writing that before she sang at the Grand Ole Opry. So every time I sing that song, like I just think about that, and I think about, you know, times where maybe people weren't the most supportive. And it's very just it's like but it's also it's just really cool to get to do that in front of an audience and be like, I'm standing here singing in front of a room full of people and they all are listening and want to hear what I have to say. So I just, that song's so special. And I'm so thankful that she wrote that song because it's one of my favorites to cover.
Absolutely, but I find this interesting, I guess, asking you this question because I'm curious about it. I mean, when you sing songs like "Girl Going Nowhere," and you get to perform it almost everywhere that you get to perform in, but whenever you get the chance to perform it, and when you sing the lyrics of the song, what comes to mind?
I think to me it's like every single word of this, like I believe and I feel it. And the people standing in front of me are like the reason why I'm standing here. They're the reason why this experience is so special. And so it really always is such an intimate moment with the audience that you're singing in front of. And it gives me chills because it's always such a special moment, and it's really cool to see the reactions, even just like in the song, and just hearing the room kind of quiet and people really just listen to those words. And in my head, it's like, oh my God, like this is all I could ever ask for, is to have a room really just engaged in what I'm singing to them and what I'm saying. And it may not be my song, but it sure feels like it. Like it feels so authentic coming from me, and I really mean every word that I'm singing. So that's probably one of my favorite songs to do live, just because of how it's so raw, and I think it kind of allows like a vulnerable moment between you and an audience, and it's just special. So,
For sure, and I wanna play another song for you here that I really love, and I think it screams just who you are as an artist, and I guess taking inspirations from Ashton McBride and all the artists that you've been inspired by all these years, this song I guess is sort of I guess an ode to the sacrifices people have made to get to get you to where you are today. So here's an audio of Alyssa playing an original song.
you've been So,
Well, I
oh.
mean, that's Alyssa playing her original song "Meant to Do." I mean, that song just speaks volumes to where you are in your career now. And I guess playing that song, what when you listen to that back and you reflect to where you are now, what do you think of?
Yeah, so that song was the first song I ever wrote completely by myself in January of this year. And I actually cried when I wrote it because I think about my parents, and I'm 19. And so I've never been married or anything like that. And I think that song can definitely be related to a marriage or like a very serious relationship, of course. But I also do look at it as it's like you're in this battle with yourself with like because of the love of music. And so I think that can be applied to any kind of career that someone's chasing. And you're always kind of in that push and pull. It's not always great. It's not always, perfect. And it's gonna hurt you sometimes. And maybe there's things you should do to change it. And there's things that can be kind of like mended back together. But in the end, like love wins, and your passion for it or your love for it, it's always gonna come above and rise above all those, tough times. And it's just that song is so much meaning to me, and I think no matter where someone is in their life, that's always kind of prevalent. And so that was just a really big accomplishment just to get that song, but it is one of my favorite songs that I've written. And I think so many people can relate to that, whether it is a job or a relationship or whatever. It's like your love for it and the passion is always going to rise above no matter where you're at in that journey. And it's going to keep pushing you and keep making you grow and keep, whether it's the relationship growing or the career growing, it's only going to fuel it if you keep that passion and love involved. So I think that's what that song means to me right now. But I'm sure it will change down the road.
Absolutely. I guess and I do agree with that. I think meanings of song changes throughout the years of of different milestones that you hit, and then you sort of, I guess, come back to,
Find that love again for it.
I yeah, but also the fact that like when you come back down to earth to realize how far you've gotten, and then sort of the whole thing hits you at the end of the day, because I guess when you're touring so much, and when you're writing songs so much, and when you're in the studio so much, and you, I guess, invest all your time into that, you kind of forget about things that you've done in the past because you're so focused on doing what's now.
Exactly. When
And
it
then when you come back, you know, when you come back to it, the whole feeling hits you,
sure.
because it's the speed of the moment, right? It's like we're on the go all the time, and we want to do all things, and we want to change things, and there's certain things that we don't like. There's certain things that we're like, yeah, let's put that in like an album, in a future album. But I mean, those two performances, you know, Girl Going Nowhere and Meant to Do, I mean, those go hand in hand with, I guess, with what you are now. And just seeing like things on TikTok that you're posting, I guess that's also important in an artist's career, just putting out stuff on, you know, if it's just you in your room performing a song or a cover song.
About
That's
social
how people start out. You know, that's exactly how people start out. And they sort of work their way up, and then all of a sudden one blows up out of nowhere and you don't expect
exactly.
it,
And
right?
there you
And
go.
then the whole thing blows up for you. And that's something like I've learned throughout this podcast, is if you can post one clip that's like entertaining for somebody to watch, but you find it interesting yourself, and then one blows up out of nowhere and you're like, whoa, I didn't know people would be so attached to this. But one thing I was so attached towards was, I think it was on a recent live stream that you did with Sean Dunbar,
Oh
you guys were
my
doing Carrie Underwood's Temporary Home, and
Oh.
I was listening to Sean sort of like Sean and yourself singing together, and then when I was hearing him play the guitar in the background, the only thought that came to my mind was, play a solo on the guitar. That just meant to do. It was meant to do. It was meant to be in that song, because that song does not have a solo in it. It does not have a solo in it. And I was like, play a solo, because it sounds so good with the solo. And he did a solo and he ripped it. I was like, that's exactly how the song should be.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
So good.
Check out Sean Dunbar on TikTok. He's a great artist and great instrumentalist, playing on so many great
Happy.
instruments. But I mean, as we're wrapping up here, I mean, is there, I guess, what's the question I would ask? I would probably be, what would your younger self think of you now, I guess, in quick summary?
I think that gives me chills, that question. I think I would be very excited, and I would just kind of probably tell myself, like, keep going, because the more you create, the more you keep, putting irons in the fire, the more you're going to get rewarded for that, whether it's, a year down the road, a few months down the road, or, however long it's going to be. But I think I would be pretty proud of myself just for how much I've created in like the short amount of time that I've one, just been in town, but also two, like started writing. And I didn't play guitar when I moved here. So I started playing guitar last January. So it's just been like a whirlwind of emotions being here. But I think I would be very excited. Just the road just keeps it, all you can do is this. And it's like you're gonna get knocked down, you're gonna get no, but it's like that's all motivation because it's all a step forward to where you want to be. So I think I would be very excited just with where I'm at and just the journey, ahead, and just kind of keep that mindset and keep that mindset of like the more, like the harder you work and the harder you push yourself and really just believe in yourself, that's all you can do. Because if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. I mean, I learned that a long time ago, and I think it's so true. It is so true.
Absolutely. Well, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. I had such a blast to be able to explore everything with you. To listeners who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with American country singer songwriter Alyssa Flaherty. Find her on all social media platforms. You can visit on alyssaflaherty.com. You can connect with me on all podcast streaming platforms and on social media. I've been your host, Shipping Kelt, saying thanks for tuning into the show.